and ask how you're doing. But we just sang about the King returning, and we just sang about all hail King Jesus. And if that hasn't changed your posture slightly, I don't know that there's a lot that's going to help you. So I'm hoping that you are in a posture of like recognizing we are so dependent on him. And what a gift to be able to let go of this life and embrace what's there. Right? It's so good. Those of you online, welcome. We're so glad you're with us today. I'm so glad that we get to do this together. Let's put it that way. Get to walk alongside Paulden, Baghdad. Welcome to you. I do come with a warning today. Okay? So if you are part of the Heights family and you have been for a while, all I got for you is buckle up. You've been here before. But if you are new or you are fairly new to the Heights family, or maybe it's even your first time here or maybe across the screen, today is a lot, and I own that up front, but we need to cover some ground. We're literally going to teach the whole Bible, okay? So we're going to cover a lot of ground, and it's intentional, and the hope is this, that when we walk out of here, we have some foundations to live from. And what I know is this, that we're in a collection, and part of this collection, this idea, if you were here last week, it's called Just Camping. That this life is just a camping trip. Anybody enjoy camping this week? Yeah? Okay, one of you. Good. I'm excited. The rest of you feel about camping like I do. It's not fun. But no, seriously, the idea behind just camping is this, that if we look at the physical tent, what we can learn from the physical tent is that the physical tent is suitable to the ground it's found in. When we talk about our life, Paul refers to this life, this body, as a physical tent, right? So your physical body is going to be laid down at some point. But while you are here and while you have breath, this life, this camping trip, your life is suitable to live by faith. Why? Because you can't see yet. So you're living by faith. You're suitable in this life to live by faith. We talked about last week the idea that tents don't have roots on them. So how absurd is it for us who are just camping to take this life and try and put roots into the earth? It doesn't make sense to try and make this the place we hold on to. Now, we also talked about last week the idea that this is temporary, right? That we were made to move, that we are vulnerable to the elements, that your tent is going to wear out no matter how much you fight it, no matter how many things you try and do. The physical tent is going to wear out. Your physical body is wearing out. Your best day was the day you were born. It's been all downhill since then, right? And so the reality to it is that this life is just camping, which raises questions. And it raises an experience that we are all going to go through whether we like it or not. Death has a 100% hit rate. You are heading towards an experience, and it reminds me, my wife and I got to take a cruise fairly recently, and part of that cruise was, it was on a ship we'd never been on, with a company we'd never been at, and a port we'd never gone out of, and so there's all these unknowns to the experience. Have you ever had an experience like that where you're like, I know I'm heading into this experience, but I don't really know what it is? Well, so what we did is we started to watch videos, right? And they're walkthrough videos. So it's people with a camera walking around the ship. I know it sounds really exciting, right? Walking around, but what they're doing is giving you all these insider tips to the experience that's ahead. So if you want to get through the process to get on the boat, this is what we recommend. If you want to get from the airport to the port, this is what we recommend. When you get to your room, I know it feels like there's not much space. You can take these along and they will help you have more space to store stuff. If you do this when you get on the boat, it'll have a better dining experience. Like all these little tips that made the experience so much easier because we knew what to expect. When you know, you can plan. We were able to plan ahead of time. We were able to, because we knew what was coming, we were able to act accordingly in the present, even though the event was in the future. That's what knowing does. It changes the experience. I got a question for you today, and this is what we're going to wrap around. What happens when you die? what happens when you die? Because what you think about that and how you understand it changes everything for what you do in the present. We ended last week in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 1, it says this, for we know, speaking to the church. So when it says we, that's speaking to the people that have said yes to Jesus, the people that would be consider themselves followers of Jesus. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. What he's getting at is this life, this physical body is like a tent. And just like a tent, it will be dismantled, meaning it will be laid flat on the earth someday. And he goes, when it is, you need to know that you are getting an upgrade, right? Like you are upgrading to a house. And so with that, a permanent dwelling made in heaven. He carries on then and he says, meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. He's going, we know that there's this heavenly dwelling coming. We don't want to be exposed. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. So he's going, there's this piece of us that's just longing to be done with this camping trip. And we're longing for what's ahead because it's that good. So then he says, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Isn't that beautiful? It's like poetic. The image that I was given this week that helped make sense of that is like when you go into a dark room and you turn on the light swallows, it consumes the darkness. And what's said here is of this mortality that we live in, this mortality that we all are born into, that life wants to consume it. It wants to swallow it. It wants to absorb it. He then carries on. Now, the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. So the Holy Spirit that's been given to you, what he's saying here is that when you said yes to Jesus and the Holy Spirit became present inside of you and in your life, what you need to know is that was also you receiving the Holy Spirit is a deposit. It's a payment guaranteeing your future. So those of you that today know with confidence, the Holy Spirit indwells me. And what you also should know then is that is a deposit. And what that deposit is doing is guaranteeing your inheritance to come, guarantees your future. The Holy Spirit is a deposit. And we'll talk about that in weeks to come. Therefore, based on this is a tent, it's a camping trip. We got this future home. Based on, we long to be there. Based on, the mortality is going to be swallowed up. He says, therefore, based on the fact that you have a deposit that's guaranteeing, therefore, we are always confident. That's in the present. You are confident today in the present. And know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For while we live by faith, for we live by faith, not by sight. Why? Because camping, this life that we're in, is suitable to faith. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Can I just make something really clear? Because I think we got this all kinds of confused. The victory, the reward of when we talk about heaven is not all of the stuff that goes with heaven. The reward is that you will be face to face with God himself. The reward is him. And I got to wonder, because if we're not very excited about him in this life, why would we think that we're going to be excited for heaven? No, just me? Okay. Right? You ever wonder why if the reward is him and the restoration, then in this life, if I'm more excited about the concept of rewards in heaven and a perfect environment and all of that, and I miss Jesus, I've missed the whole point of the future. Oh, I will. It's coming. It's coming. And I didn't tell you this, but part of the warning, I would advise you to take notes. Right? Like, I would advise you, if you can take notes today, take notes. If you can read the physical transcript, read the physical transcript. If that's on your phone and a Bible, that's how important this is. It'll change everything. But what he says here, and you might have heard this phrase, absent with the body is present with, this is the verse we get it from. And what he's getting at is the idea that when your physical body, when your physical body is laid in the dirt, it's a shell. And what happens is when your physical body, and often we put a tombstone, right, or something like that, and you have a grave, what you have is, it says that you will be what? Away from the body is present with the Lord. So there's something, the essence of you, your soul, that is present with God. The essence of who you are. The spirit, if you like, your personhood. If you have ever been with somebody who took their last breath, what you notice is they went from breathing in 1 millisecond to they stopped and they are gone. And you can tell the person who they were is gone and the shell is left. What we're told by Paul is when this happens, as a follower of Jesus, people that have put their faith and trust in the person of Jesus, what we know to be true, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, is that when death comes calling for you, when you die simultaneously, seamlessly, there is a transition from your body to the presence of God. You are present with God Almighty. Now, you may go, well, what does that mean? What is that like? What does this refer to? Is this heaven? Well, Jesus, if you look in Luke chapter 23, verse 42, Jesus said, he's having a conversation, sorry. Two thieves on the cross, he's in the middle. The conversation is coming to an end. And one of the thieves says this, then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him. Remember, he's dying. He's in the process of dying. Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in what? Paradise. That today is not yesterday, not tomorrow, right now. Present tense. Today, you will be with me in paradise. That's how it's referred to. I don't know what you think of when you think of paradise. I think of a beach with nobody on it, right? With amazing waves, with sunsets, great food, the people I love there, right? There's joy, there's conversation, it's warm. You're soaking in the energy from the sun. That's where my brain goes when I think of paradise. Now, here's what's interesting. A lot of people, this is what you think of when you think of heaven. And isn't it interesting that even me just explaining this, that wait, your personhood, your body's there. You are, your personhood, your spirit, your soul is removed from the body. And you're like, that's weird. I can't comprehend that. So am I just floating around? Which is where we get the imagery of floating on clouds. That's weird. Right? Like, my brain can't wrap around that. Why? Because you were always intended to have a body. Your body and your soul were connected together in creation. I mean, some other things about heaven, right? Like disembodied spirits and we just float around. That's weird. I can't comprehend that. Disney's done its best with haunted houses to try and get us to believe and understand. But that's not what this is. There's a piece of this that sometimes heaven gets referred to, especially the disembodied state, chubby babies that are naked with bows and arrows. I don't want nothing to do with chubby babies that are naked with bows and arrows. I just don't want anything to do with it. Other people, oh, it's an eternal worship service. You're going to sing for all of eternity. And you're like, I get bored after an hour. And what's happened is, I think the enemy's done a really good job of making you bored about heaven. But where we're confused is we're confused in what is this right here? Okay, this right here, there is some sense that we understand there are, it's bodily can exist in this state. Here's what I mean. It's an intermediate state. And in that, Jesus comes back from the dead and they all recognize Jesus. He's got holes in his hands. He eats food, but he walks through walls. He transcends physical parameters. So we understand that there's a bodily state to the resurrected Jesus in that form. And what does he say? Don't hold on to me because I got to go where? To the Father. You know, you have the Mount of Transfiguration where Jesus shows up and you have Moses and Elijah show up. And they're recognizable. There's some form of physical that you see and recognize in them. This intermediate state often gets confused for a heaven. And it does damage to the followers of Jesus. Because what Paul is saying is the reality is that when you are absent, when your body is laid flat, you are absent and you are present with the Lord. But to understand why this even matters and how we got here, we have to go back to the beginning. I told you we're going to learn the whole Bible. You ready? Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. So God's completed creation, and he goes, it's very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. Chapter 2, verse 25 is speaking now of the first humans. Adam and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. What it's getting at is in creation, what has happened in creation is God has put the earth and the heavens. He created the heavens and the earth, as we know. And in that, specifically, we are told that the first humans, which is Adam and Eve, they walk with God in the cool of the day. We're told that the first humans, there is nothing between them and God. That God exists with them and the daily interactions are together, not apart. And what you get from that is that they were in perfect. Union. Why is this important? Because this is what God always intended for humanity and God. This is what God always intended for us to experience with him. A perfect environment in perfect union with God and with others around us. And we know, because we live where we live, that Genesis chapter 3, what you got is sin. The first humans make a choice that goes directly against God and everything breaks. Everything shatters. The perfect union that was there is no longer there. And they're told very clearly that if you eat of this fruit, meaning if you go against God, the ramifications of that are this thing that was never meant to be a part of humanity will be a part of it. And it's called death. And so what you have is from this point, you have a whole bunch of people. And these are tombstones, just in case you were wondering, not windows. But you have a whole bunch of people that die. This is our past in the story of God. What we're also told is that as you follow the story and the narrative of God, what you find in this is the Jewish mindset when it came to death, they hadn't developed it very far. And so what is believed to be the purpose of death here is it's just a holding place. And this is where you get the thought of you sit in a state where you are just held. And what happens is those that have done good things, they rise up as righteous before God. Those that have done bad things, they rise up, but they're condemned by God. And so that was the philosophy that existed all the way from the beginning until this person named Jesus shows up in John chapter 3. He says this, verse 16, for God so loved the world. So he interjects into this space. He goes, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him, whoever believes in the one that is sent, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So in this story, in this narrative where death has just been a holding place, Jesus shows up and he goes, the one that believes inherits eternal life. Here's what he's getting at. Sorry, I got to switch pens. That in the person of Jesus, there is a cross. And the story of Jesus is that he came and he died. That he took the sin of all of humanity and put it on himself. Why? Because Romans tells us the wages of sin is death. So what does Jesus do? He takes the payment of sin, which is death, puts it on himself, and he dies, and then they place him into a tomb. So what happens is, in here, you have a tomb that he is laid into. And what we are told is that when he laid in the tomb, what he put to rest was death. And the miracle of the resurrection is this, that he conquered death. He left death in the grave. And when he rose, he now is a doorway to life. So what you get in the person of Jesus is he says, if you believe in me, what do you inherit? Eternal life. So what he's saying is that when he died, what was laid in the tomb is your sin, my sin, and the wages of that sin is death. And what he then says is you now get eternal life, which is why this really matters. Because what connects here is this, that the reason when your body lays flat on the ground and you have no breath and your essence, your spirit, your soul leaves your body and is now what? Seamlessly present with the Lord. You know why it's seamlessly? Because eternal life doesn't start for you when you die. When you put your trust in Jesus, you inherit what? Eternal life, and it starts now. Meaning you don't have to die and then wait to inherit eternal life. You already have eternal life. And so when you die, death is just a doorway to experience the life that you were born for. Remember, what is over here? God in perfect union with who? Everyone, with humans, right? What do you get here? In death, we are now united with what? With God. He's putting it all back together. And your eternal, don't miss it, church. Your eternal life is now, which is why when you breathe your last, it is not something to be feared. You're already living it right here and right now, which means that absent from the body is present with the Lord. There's not a waiting space. If you turn over a couple of pages, so chapter 5, Jesus then says this. Verse 25, very truly I tell you, a time is coming and has now come. So these are the words of Jesus, the theology of Jesus. Very truly I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear it will live. Why is this true? For the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. So he goes, The Father has life. He's given it to the Son. This is why this is true. The Son has life. Then notice what 27 says. And he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. We're going to get into this next week, the idea of judgment and why Jesus is the one that gets to judge, right? And we'll get into what that means and what that looks like. Because of that, then he says this in 28, do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. So Jesus got done in chapter 3 and he goes, hey, I'm anyone who believes in me, eternal life is happening. Then he says this statement that when his voice is heard, all of the graves of all of humanity, the dead will come out of the graves. It's interesting, the word cemetery, right? The word grave, the root word of that, definition of that, is dormitory. What he's saying is the dorms are going to be emptied. All those people who are asleep right now, and we call it death, the dorms are going to be emptied, and they all rise. Can you picture that for just a second? That's wild. What is he saying? Well, what he's getting at is there are bodies, and those bodies are in what? Graves. Your tent, your physical body, as we talked about last week, will be laid flat to the earth someday. And then it will be put in a grave. What this is saying is at the voice of Jesus, this physical body is going to rise. Which then, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 builds on this. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says this. Brothers and sisters, so speaking to the church family, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep. Notice that it uses the word sleep because if you're in a dormitory, you're what? Asleep. Those who are asleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind. The whole point of this, church, is that we should not be people that are so caught up in grief when we know the story. We shouldn't be people that are lost when it comes to grief. We should be people that have clarity. And it says specifically that we do not grieve like the rest of mankind who do not have hope. We have hope, and his name is Jesus. Why? Because Jesus has provided life for those that are dead. And so he says, church, don't be uninformed, for we believe that Jesus died, for we believe. Remember, what did Jesus say? If you believe, you inherit what? Eternal life. He says, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. So we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. What is he adding to it? We believe that Jesus is coming back. And it says that those who have fallen asleep, the personhood, the spirit, the soul of those that have fallen asleep, whatever bodily form it took on in paradise, they are coming back with Jesus. And when they come back, listen to what happens. According to the Lord's word, we tell you, we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. So those that are still alive, you're not getting a jump on those that fell asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command. What did Jesus say? At the sound of my voice, the graveyard's empty. at the sound of my voice, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will be with the Lord forever. What does it say? That we are heading for a reunion. We're heading for a reunion with those that have gone before. And we are going to be joined, those coming back, those coming from here, and we're going to be joined and we're going to be with the Lord forever. That's the promise. United back together. Now, where this gets interesting is your tent is going to be raised. That's crazy. Does the Bible know? Like, after you've been dead a really long time, it just turns to dust. God's going to get all those dust particles of that individual. The battles in the church over whether you should cremate somebody or not over all the years. How's God going to find all those pieces? I let them out over the ocean and the wind took them. Those that have died in wars. Those that died at sea. This can't be right. Remember, he spoke the world into existence with nothing. I think he can find your parts just fine. Why does he care? Why does God care? Why does he care about the physical world? He's your creator, and he made you the way he likes you. And I believe that just like a father who, if something is taken from your kid that you meant something to them, that meant something to you, you go and you get it back for them. When he died, there's a word that's used. It's called redeemed. He bought back. What did he buy back? All of you. And so when you are raised into this reunion, something else happens that is found in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. But speaking to the church, our citizenship, those of you that love your American citizenship, listen up. Our citizenship is where? In heaven. Believers, don't mistake where your roots should be. We're in a tent. Tents have no roots. Our citizenship is in heaven. And what are we doing here? We are eagerly await a savior from there. Why? Because he's coming back. It's not just a song. He's coming back. The Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Remember when Jesus was raised, he looked like Jesus, but some thought he was a ghost, right? Because he's got this body that he's in bodily form, but it's not who he was. And it's not, remember when John in Revelation gets to heaven and he sees the resurrected Jesus, he barely recognizes him because he's so glorious. What is this telling us? Is that you, your tent and your soul are going to be reunited into one glorious chubby body. You have a glorious body coming. One that unites your soul and unites the tent. And I'll be honest with you, nobody knows what it's like. We can only guess from what we see in the person of Jesus and we see in others around him. And we read in some of the pages about what happens. But don't miss that God is going to put it all back together, because that's what this was all about. And what you find then, if you follow the story, you get to something called the Great White Throne. And there's a book, and the book is open. And the book is called Life. We're going to talk about this next week. But can I encourage you? Your name is either in the book of life or it is not in the book of life. And your eternity really, really matters on that book of life. If you're here or you're across the screen and you have someone in your life that you go, I don't know if their book is, if their name is in that book of life, you need to get them here or on a screen next week. It's that important. There's something else that we're told is still to come. And it is called the judgment seat of Christ. We'll talk about that next week. Why does this life matter? And what's connected to Jesus being a judge? One last thought. Revelation chapter 21. Starts this way. Then I saw. So after those things have happened, then I saw. What'd you see, John? A new heaven and a new earth. Can anybody picture a new heaven and a new earth? Of course you can. Why? Because you were always created to what? Live on the earth. All of a sudden we go, wait a minute, that makes sense. I understand what that's like. He says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away and there was no longer any sea. What does he see as a vision of what we call heaven when we say heaven and we mean forever? What does John see as your forever home? He sees a God who goes and creates a new heaven and a new earth. And then he goes, and I saw a city coming down out of heaven. And the city is known to be the dwelling place of God. Why does this matter? Because you in your chubby state, I don't think you have to work out in that bod, just so you know. But you in your glorified state, what happens? God creates a new heavens and a new earth that for all of eternity, it says, that God will dwell. And so now you have what? God plus us. And that's called home. And it's forever. It's forever. And so here's what's beautiful with this, right? It's forever. And so when I start to think of heaven and I start to think of it in the concept of earth, think about it for a second. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. So that tells me what's going to be abundant in heaven is love and joy. There is not going to be evil and sin and death. What I know about heaven is there's going to be peace, everything as it should be, wholeness together, right? We walk in, there's no pain, there's no suffering, there's no guilt. There's no longing for somewhere else, you're home. Which means in this life, you are just camping. If this is true, this whole story, then you today are just camping. Because you have a future waiting for you. There's something else I want you to see. And why this all matters so much. Because the story you live inside of has a past. And that past that you were born into is marred by death. The past that you were born into, death is the outcome. And death is a holding place where you are waiting to be judged. But we know that our past story also has a present. And in the present is where we live, you guys. The present is where God showed up in person. The present is where the tomb is empty. The present is where the tomb is now a doorway to life. The present that you live in today is why you are camping, because this is not forever. But what we know is that we do have a forever. We have a future that was purchased by God. That your future, that doorway to life, that your future is home with God in perfect unity as he always planned for it to be. Because why? Jesus showed up and put it back together, which means that this life is just camping, because you have a future waiting for you. So don't you put down roots to this life. Because it's passing away. You're trying to hold on to something that cannot be grasped. Don't you waste the temporary trying to make permanent, because the temporary is leading you to the future, to the permanent. Where you and your loved ones and all of the people that have said yes to Jesus will dwell in a perfect eternity for all of eternity. Why does just camping matter? Well, we're going to talk about that in weeks to come. Because it's too important to miss what this life is actually about. But if you don't know, you can't plan for the experience. And so what are you going to do today that's different? Because you know the future is ahead. Would you pray with me, God? We just pause and thank you. We thank you for being a God who did not stay far away when you could have. We thank you for being a God that chose to get into the dirt of this earth, that chose to take the weight of sin, to take the punishment of sin, which is death. You chose to carry that for us. You are our only hope, Jesus. You are our living hope today. God, I pray over those in the room and across screens and in different locations that do not know you today. God, it is too important to not stop and ask, do I trust Jesus? Because eternal life weighs on it. So God, I pray over those under the sound of a microphone today, whenever and wherever this happens to be heard, God, I pray that your spirit would go to work on those that go, I don't know if I know Jesus today. God, would you lead them today to surrender, to step out by faith, because this life is suitable to simply pray, Jesus, I trust you. I give you my life. God, I pray over our church family. I pray over everyone that has said yes to you and is following you. God, I pray for them as they are just camping. Would you remind them that this is not home, this is not forever, that there is an amazing future in front of us where we are united with you without all of the things that we hate of this life. And so God, would you inspire us and get us excited? Would we not miss that Jesus, you are our living hope? Would we take our voices and would we raise our voices to you today in a celebration? And a thank you and a response of gratitude for being our living hope for this life and the one to come. And everybody said, amen.